Hello, hello, this is Robin Zander. I want you to listen to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. That's right, he's my friend.
Good old Robin Zander.
That's your boy.
Need some more Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick.
Yeah, right. All right, so without further ado,
okay,
let's head back out to Las Vegas as we get ready for UFC 260. Looking forward to it. Let's welcome to the program for the very first time, Sugar Sean O'Malley. Sean, how are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Can't complain.
We appreciate your time. Obviously, this is the beginning, the start of fight week. How do you pass the time?
I've been playing Call of Duty all day.
Okay. We talk to a lot of fighters, and some like to think about the fight. Some like to try to block it out. You know, which are you? How do you do it?
A little bit of both. I'm not just going to sit in the hotel room and think about the fight all day. At the end of the day, I put in the work that was needed to be put in. I need to, right now, just focus on, I need to hydrate really well right now, water load. Cut weight tomorrow and make weight Friday and then fight Saturday. So there's not too much I need to think about. I know what I need to go in there and do, and I'm just waiting to go do it.
You know, every time that I have an athlete on and we talk, and it's a work trip, and it doesn't matter if it's Vegas or it's Paris or it's wherever, cool city, bad city, and it's always a work trip, and a lot don't want to walk the strip. They don't want, but when you can't because of the pandemic and all that, is it different? Like now, I want to, even though I normally wouldn't have done it.
No, I'm content with sitting in the room playing Call of Duty with the boys and hanging out. And I have a bunch of media today, so my day's pretty full. I'm going to go train later tonight. So my day's full. I would be doing this regardless of the quarantine.
I've covered the UFC since UFC 1. UFC 11 was the first one that I was there to cover. And obviously, the sport of MMA and the UFC has come so far, even though Dana said it's not as long as we think, that the UFC has been around. What do we need to do as a jiu-jitsu guy and a ground guy that I love to have the ground game more appreciated?
Yeah, it's hard for people to understand jiu-jitsu unless you do it. Unlike football, you don't have to play it to get the rules. I mean, you don't have to do jiu-jitsu to understand it, but it's going to be hard for some casual fans to understand what's going on, especially with the point system and passing and sweeps and stuff. So I think it's just, I don't know, it'll evolve slowly but surely. I think, jiu-jitsu is one of the sweetest sports in the world. But even me, I don't really, watch it too much. I'll throw on some jiu-jitsu highlight videos before I go to practice or something. But I just don't, it's always going to be second to fire. Fighting, UFC is always going to be number one. Fighting's always going to be number one. But I think jiu-jitsu will definitely get big enough for people to start making legit livings at it, competing. So,
And I guess it's like baseball where, everybody loves the home run and, it's, not the singles or the stolen bases. And, everybody, I guess, loves the knockouts, even though one of the last sporting events that I've covered, and I'm looking forward to the return of the UFC in Jacksonville, was your jiu-jitsu tournament. I think it was in the end of 2019. Mm-hmm. I know it's going back in time, but talk about that, the whole process of it, the team thing. And now, did you enjoy that whole thing?
Absolutely. It was perfect. I hadn't fought in a while, and it was, I was itching to compete. I had been grappling a lot with really good guys, so it was fun to go out there, and, there's no weight limit, so I'm grappling with guys like, Takano Rigomi, Gilbert Melendez, Hector Lombard. Like, I'm grappling with guys I would never grapple with in a competitive situation. So it was cool, and I got to prove to not even people, but to myself that I could compete at a high level of jiu-jitsu. So it was really fun. I had a lot of fun doing it.
Well, and it kind of, took it back to the beginning days, the old school of UFC, where, it didn't matter, weight classes, because typically, you wouldn't be fighting Hector Lombard, but to be able to go out there and grapple against him and do fairly well against, a world jiu-jitsu guy, was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm thankful there's weight classes in the UFC, because I ain't trying to fight guys like Hector in a cage or Francis or Stipe. So I'm glad there's weight classes in the UFC.
Oh, I agree with you.
Hey, Sean, so we're talking to Sean O'Malley. I know our listeners can't see you, but you usually have the wildest hair colors, the patterns, Hulk Hogan once told me that if you walk in a room and you're not noticed, then you fail to leave a mark or impression behind. You know, how much of it is to build a brand and a name for yourself until your skill set does all the talking for you? And how much of it is like personal expression of just you being you and expressing yourself in the real world?
Yes, I think my skill set definitely, that's why I'm getting pushed so much. You know, I'm having these sweet knockouts, but I'm also have the crazy hair and the personality, whatever that is that attracts people to me. I have it. I don't know what it is. I know the performances I'm putting on are awesome. You know, the knockout over Eddie, the knockout over Jose, the knockout over Alfred to get into the UFC. I'm definitely putting on the performances. I'm trying to build a brand outside of fighting, so I don't got to fight, just fight to make money. I think I made just as much money last year, if not more, outside of the UFC, which is pretty crazy considering, how much I made in the UFC. It's good. I'm doing it right.
I understand that you also do a radio show.
Yeah, the Timbo Sugar Show podcast, radio show, whatever, it's on all the platforms. Me and my coach, Tim, best friend, we get on there, bullshit, talk about the fights, and just whatever comes to mind.
That's basically what we do.
That's all we do.
We love sports. We love MMA, but yeah, pretty much whatever. So a couple real quick questions just to get to know you a little bit better for the audience that may not, and there may be one or two of them that have been hiding under a rock lately, and so let's find out a little bit about you. I know food may not be a great subject right now, but let's say that you can invite four people over for dinner, living or passed away, real or fictitious. It cannot be family members. It can't be, guys from the gym. Athletes from the gym. Who would you want to come over and just kind of hang out with and pick their brain as they're picking yours?
Shit. I would want four of the hottest chicks ever if I had four people I could pick. So I'd pick Miley Cyrus. She's a little wild. I like it. Kylie. I think, what's the name? Kylie Jenner?
Jenner.
I want to make sure that's not the trans mom one. I don't want.
No, that's
Caitlyn.
That's Caitlyn. No,
that's Caitlyn.
Not great.
Fuck it, I invite Caitlyn. She's probably nasty. One of the ring girls. There's some good looking ring girls. I like the, what's her name, Red De La Cruz. Ooh, I'll pick those guys. Just random, but whatever.
Could be the greatest answer of the 30-some years I've asked that question. I always ask, the athletes, fans, they come, they want pictures, they want autographs, they try to get memorabilia with your name or your photo on it. Do you collect anything, whether it's sports-related, music-related? What might you collect?
People's souls. Got Eddie's at home. I like collecting teams.
I'm writing that down.
Oh, that's the greatest answer of all time.
It truly is.
That's the greatest answer of all time.
And I'm so old and senile that I tend to forget a lot of things, interviews, fights I've been to in the past. There's only like 10 things that I remember, and that is one of them.
That's going to be absolutely collecting perfect souls.
Well, so people out until 16, so.
Typically, Sean, the next question is, what piece of memorabilia would you really want? And I guess it's your next opponent's soul, right?
Yeah, Thomas. Well, actually, probably Thomas's eyeball. I'm trying to punch that thing out Saturday night.
Well, hopefully we've become friends over the past 4 minutes. Hopefully it's a punch and not, there's a lot of issues with eye pokes. So.
No, yeah, I'm trying to punch his eye out for sure.
How do you feel about the change of the glove while we're on the eye poke subject? There are different designs that would prevent the eye poke or lessen the chances. Are you a fan of changing the design of the current glove?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't. Fortunate for me, I haven't poked anyone in the eye or been poked in the UFC yet. So, but yeah, I think if it's an issue, I don't see why. I mean, we're in 2021. The UFC, the biggest promotion in the world. There's no reason we're not fixing this.
I just need to jump in. For some reason, he said duck.
Yeah, ducking.
He's ducking the eye poke. Right. He's thinking about going fishing, so it's duck.
So Sean, I just have one last question for you, man, for myself. Every couple of years, the UFC or the promotion comes out and they back a young and up-and-coming star. You had that. You still have that swag, that star power. Like, what's it like to fight with that kind of pressure when the promotion builds up so much anticipation for this career you haven't completed yet?
Yes, I've put myself in this position. You know, all the pressure I have on me, whatever you want to call it, put on me by myself. You know, UFC posts on their Instagram about my fight coming up. They always have film crews around me when I have a fight coming up. That's good. That I'm doing something right. But I don't really just like, oh no, I have to go out there and do something spectacular. It's my style, my skill set that I have, and my body type, my athleticism. It just that my skill set. It's just exciting. I put on shows regardless of whatever has happened on the outside.
That you do. You do. It's always fun to watch.
Before we let you go, obviously one question about Saturday night when you get back in the octagon. You know, what can the fans expect to see? They know what they can expect to see out of you. What can they expect to see in this fight between you and Thomas?
Thomas is I'm not looking past Thomas. Thomas is a legitimate opponent. I know he's not on a good streak right now, but he's lost a good guy. So he's a legit opponent. I think I'm going to go out there and be able to really prove where my skills are for whatever reason. There's still some fans that are like, I don't know, it might be a hype train. I got lucky. I punched Eddie and, you know, he fell, whatever. Some people are stupid, but, you know, I'm trying to go out there and prove to stupid people that they're stupid.
I've got so many lucky points.
We got to make a shirt out of that one.
Sean, thank you very much for your time. I know we got your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a pair of earbuds from Jabra headphones for coming on and spending time with us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, awesome.
John. Have fun on Saturday, and I
great
think
guy.
Really well.
Snatching souls.
That's the best. All right, let's go ahead and break. More shenanigans live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. This is Knockout Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Larry Boa, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Torta Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Torta Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Torta Pizza.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Franco Harris with Randy Harris on Knockout Radio.
And we are back with Knockout Radio, coming to you live from Tour de Pizza. Waiting on our celebrity guests to get here. They're running a little behind.
Let me explain the celebrity guest that's in room.
Okay.
Okay. So I've known this person for a little, I think you young and say for a minute.
For a minute.
Right. He is the only guy that I know that would stop in the Knockout Radio limo to get food on the way to coming to a restaurant to make pizza.
And to appear live on a radio show that ends at 4 o'clock on the dot.
I really liked it. I really liked this. Yeah,
and you thought I was the dumbest guy here, but.
Well, no, you still are. That just goes to show.
Well, until they walk in the room.
No, it doesn't matter.
But until they walk in, absolutely.
The dumbest person on the planet is still smarter than you.
Well.
Which makes you the dumbest person.
I would like to have a debate about that with that person.
I'm the judge.
Not you, with the other person.
Okay, you debate it, and we'll call Judge Platinum, and we'll let him judge.
Judge Platinum Perry.
He fights in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Getting ready to throw some leather.
He loves that fight game.
I would hope they all do. You know, I've always said this, that Marcus Jones, former number one draft pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, made a lot of money, then tried to go to MMA, went to the UFC, was on the Ultimate Fighter, got knocked out and decided this isn't for me. But he always told me that he didn't like football. Number one draft pick, made millions. And he goes, I don't like football.
You're just good at it.
I'm just good at it. It's what I do. I go through the motions. And can you imagine what that monster could have done on the football field if he liked it? I'm not saying he didn't care, but if he liked it.
Yeah. I mean, did Warren Sapp love the game?
Oh, yeah.
He loved it. Yeah.
Well. Loved the game. Loved the demeanor. Loved, in my opinion, loved being disliked. You know, all of that stuff.
You like being the heel?
Yeah.
He'll be the bad guy.
It's not that he liked it. He just didn't care. You know, I know somebody very, very close to me. Matter of fact, he's within the 6 feet distancing.
Okay.
He's within the 2-inch distancing of me right now. That is the same thing. That he doesn't care what people think. And that's what Warren, he don't care. Like him, don't like him. The thing that Warren wants to stress is just leave him alone. He doesn't care if you like him. He doesn't care if you dislike him. Just let him do his thing. But I'll tell you what, that locker room back in the day, unless you're Chidi Ahanotu, people didn't mess with Warren.
Really?
You know, and they had their differences.
What about Warren being the BKFC? Can we get him a fight?
I'm sure that Warren would say the exact same thing he said when I kind of talked about Simeon Rice. Because Simeon Rice was saying how he wanted to come back. And Warren goes, I was the first ballot Hall of Famer. Excuse me. What am I coming back for? I don't need to come back. What does he need to fight for?
Well,
you have to love it, and I'm not sure anybody who hasn't fought.
But the fighting game wasn't as far along as it was back then, right? I mean, you're talking about UFC started 25 years ago,
But fighting has been around forever. You don't think Warren Sapp's been in a fight before?
No, of course, but those guys didn't really have it wasn't as big as it is now, where the money's there, the enticement's there.
I don't think there's as much money there now as there was.
Oh, really?
I don't believe so.
Because how many fights every week there are?
Yeah, it's not just that. It's, and again, I don't know how sponsors are still sponsoring fighters. And Sean just made a comment, how much money he's making and made almost as much out of as in. Now, we know, Paige VanZant, a lot of females, have been able to take advantage of the internet and
sure.
And how
Sports Illustrated and make money
and all
outside.
That kind of stuff. So, I think the loss of sponsorships has cost MMA fighters, not just you know, all of them,
right?
Tens of thousands. I know what just one clothing company paid.
Oh wow!
You know, just to wear a T-shirt, just to wear you know a patch on a pair of shorts in a fight.
Sure.
You know, I don't know has. I can guess, but I don't know if the pay has increased enough to make
offset
up for
that. The sponsors.
You know, I don't know. I mean, the UFC and Bellator, and you know, they take care of you know their fighters. I like it set up, show money and win money. A lot of people want it just to be one. You know, you don't get that in baseball, football, basketball, hockey, shuffleboard, cornhole. You know, it's this is your money. Their salary is to go out there and whatever.
Right.
You know. I don't know.
You like the prize purse, the prize money?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Makes them fight harder, like more on the line, more.
I think that's what it is. It's more on the line. You know, I think, you know, I always hate I'm more motivated. If you need that to be more motivated for a fist fight, you know that the money's there. So you're going to try to win harder because you're going to get a $30,000 bonus. So that's basically saying you're not trying hard.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like college football. Everybody talks about college players play so much harder because they're not being compensated. They're trying to make it to the league. They're giving it everything they got, diving for loose balls. They're laying their bodies out. They're sacrificing to get to the league.
I disagree.
Where pro athletes, they don't have the heart. They don't. It's a one-on-one game where four guys stand around watch LeBron dribble the ball, and it's one-on-one basketball.
I disagree with what you said about college football players. See, I think college football players don't dive for balls, don't do extra, don't go over. Not all.
Because they don't want to get hurt right. And not make it to the combine if and not make it to the league.
If you know that you're there, if you know if you play at Alabama, you're going to have a great chance of being drafted.
Well, that's why they all sit out the Pro Bowls or the bowl games.
But that's recent, but yes.
Right. But I could see that because that doesn't mean anything. The bowl game is only for the school and for the conference. Like, it doesn't mean, you know. So if you're going to get hurt, tear an ACL or a knee injury and keep you from fulfilling that dream of being an NFL player drafted to set your family up, your community up, then that's one thing. But I still think there's more passion and drive and heart in college football than there is ever in the NFL.
You know, that's like saying I'm going to give 110%. You know what I mean? I don't know. You can't tell me that the Buccaneers didn't give 100% every play last year. You can't tell me Kansas City. I mean, if you want to tell me the Jets don't give 100%, I don't believe that. You know, I don't think they can give
100%. Why do you guys always pick on the Jets?
Because
they're a professional organization.
The New York Football Jets are the Matt McClellan of humanity.
Well, you know, they do have the greatest nickname as well. From the New York Sack Exchange.
It is one of them.
It's one of the greatest nicknames of all sports, of all time.
Name the four Sack Exchange players.
Oh, there's the left guy, the right guy, the middle guy, and there's another guy next to him.
How can it be the greatest name of all time if you don't know?
I don't know.
Joe Flacco.
I only said that because...
Marty Lyons. Abdul Salam.
I don't know.
Why is that funny?
No, I'm not laughing at the name. I just don't know the people. I just know the nickname. The Purple People Eaters.
Name them.
I don't know who they are. They were your era.
No.
I grew up with like Sweetness. I grew up with like Peyton and like, you know, the greatest of all time.
And just so the people don't, because I waited for you to shut up, and Mark Gastineau.
So you have like answers. You are the sports guy.
You're
the one who welcomed Tiger Woods to the... You're the one who brought Tiger Woods to the mainstream. Like, you were there when he was introduced to the world on the... Look how thin you were in that photo.
That's a true story.
You were so thin. What year is that?
We'll Google when he hit the tour.
But yeah, like a young Tiger Woods and a young Randy Harris, thin. I mean, you looked...
It was in Orlando, and I get a phone call. Hey, you have any interest in emceeing the unveiling of Tiger Woods' website? I'm like, who is Tiger Woods?
Right.
And why am I going to drive 75 miles? I didn't say that. I said, sure.
Right.
So I prided myself that I didn't want to use index cards.
Okay.
And that's why my very short stint at doing TV, you know, because I needed them, because I was so caught up on TV. So I clowned around and I changed words and I did this and I said stupid stuff from the time I left my house in St. Pete to the time we got to Orlando.
Okay.
You know, I called them, you know, Mickey Woods, or I was just kind of clowning around. And then I was so nervous when I went to actually do it because I was afraid that it would just flow off and I would say something,
right,
me clowning around, you know, Jimmy Woods instead of Tiger Woods or whatever. But obviously it went off flawlessly, and the rest is history.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, and then they just released his accident report. They did not see any breaks. Yeah. So who knows what the actual cause was. There's a lot of speculation going on.
Well, the speculation is that there was no cause.
Oh.
That he was trying to do
the
unthinkable.
Yeah.
And again, you'll never know.
We'll never know.
You know, and even if whatever it is, he may not, as long as he doesn't say what it was, you'll never know.
Correct.
You right. can assume all you want.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, I pumped, I did whatever. You know, I pumped the brakes, it didn't, we'll never know.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, I'm very strong about my thoughts on suicide, but on the same line, nobody knows what anybody is really going through.
Absolutely.
Whatever it may be.
Sure.
You know, Antonio Tarver was dedicating the fight that he is now no longer fighting in to mental health.
Sure.
You know, and talking about not the game of boxing, but the business side of it.
Right.
You know, and I tried to explain to him when we had the talk last Tuesday, it's the same business side, whether it's boxing, MMA, all sports, dealing with you, you owning the restaurant, it's all the same crap.
Sure, of course.
You know, going through the military, the whole nine yards. Oh, I didn't see it. So let's go hit this break real quick, okay, and then we'll get to our boxing interview.
All right.
So coming to you live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is John Smoltz from the Atlanta Braves, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Duffy Waldorf from the PGA Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris. Freeze frame!
All right, we are back. Final couple segments here, coming to you live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. I told you I'm headed up to Atlanta in a couple weeks.
You are.
And then hopefully, it just turned out the same week that I'm going to be up there doing some shows, there happens to be a boxing event going
there
on.
There is.
We made the announcement about Antonio Tarver, but let's welcome to the show. And I'm going to ask him whether it's former. Do you use that former, kind of like the Marine thing? Let's welcome Regis Prograin. Regis, how are you?
I'm here.
I appreciate your time. So let me ask you that right out of the blocks. former WBA, former WC light welterweight champ. Do you say the word former or once a champ in boxing, always a champ?
I mean, once in boxing, always a champ, man. I still got the belt. I'm looking at my belts right now. I still got my belts in my house. But, you know, as far as right now, I don't have, you know, you can say former, you can say champ, whatever. I don't, for me, honestly, man, I don't care. But, former. I am still former right now because somebody else has my other belt. So, yeah, I'm former.
Where are the belts, and what's the best, funniest, craziest thing you've ever done? Remember, it's FCC radio, so we have to be cool here, with the belt, while wearing the belt.
Well, let's keep it PG, but if I keep it PG, then yeah, I mean, I walked around New Orleans with them, you know, after I won, I went to, like, Mardi Gras, and I had all my belts and stuff on me, and it was real cool, man. It was like a dream come true, you know, like, to be, like, a hero in your own city, so... Yeah, that was a real good time, and I think I brought them to like strip clubs and stuff with me too. So you know, we did that type of stuff.
Well, I used to tell Tim Sylvia when he won the UFC heavyweight title, you wear that thing anywhere and everywhere, whatever door those belts open for you, take advantage of it. You have a belt, take advantage of it.
Right, and you know what? I didn't honestly, man. When I won my belt, I don't know. I didn't do that though. You know, I wore them when people wanted me to. I don't know why, I just didn't feel good about wearing my belts all around. It was kind of corny to me, but it's like, man, you're a world champion. I was number one in the world at one point in time, you know, the best fighter in the world at my weight division, and I was a world champion. So, but I didn't, I don't know, I just didn't, it, for me, it was like kind of corny to bring them around, and now I feel different about it.
You know, that's because you won the belt. It's your belt. It's easy for other people, and I'll tell you a quick story. Tim Sylvia won the belt back in Anaheim, and we went to a Dodger game, and Brad Penny was the starting pitcher, and we got Tim to throw out the first pitch, and he starts to walk it out there. I'm like, Tim, put the belt on. What's wrong with you? And I had to talk him into it, and he said the same thing like you did. It's a little different when it's your belt, and it's somebody telling you, hey, it'd be really cool if you did it with the belt.
Right. Yeah, it was kind of, like I said, man, it was like a funny feeling. It's like, for me, I'm not a braggadocious type of person. You know, I'm very, very humble, and you know, I don't live a lifestyle like basically. I think like most people expect me to live. You know, so for me, with like I said, with the belts and stuff, it's like bragging. And of course, you're supposed to brag, but I don't know. It's kind of like corny with me.
I said something similar to Matt Hughes once, former UFC welterweight champion. He's like, I just keep it under my bed, and this is a true story. I said, really, why don't you just let me have it then? And he gave it to me. He goes, no, not to keep, but you can have it for wherever. And I had it for a year and a half. So, yeah, I took that thing everywhere.
Man, that's crazy that he didn't even care about the belt at all. He gave it to somebody. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not giving my belt to nobody. That's one thing. It definitely stays in my possession at all times. It stays in my house, you know, so I won't give it to nobody because you never know, somebody can sell your belt and do all kinds of stuff like that. So I won't do that, but, you know, I just keep it in my house.
I gotcha. Let's talk about the upcoming fight at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta right around the corner on the 17th. First, how important is it, A, to stay active and, you know, during, you know, this whole pandemic, and as well as providing entertainment, you know, to the sports world that needs something, you know, nice, good, fun to watch?
Yeah, I mean, it's very important. You know, we need sports. Sports is, you know, a part of life that, you know, I think everyone needs, you know. And for me, of course, staying busy is something I always want to do. You know, if people don't know about my history, man, I'm a historian. You know, I'm a real student of the game. I'm a real historian. You know, I always study all, like, the great fighters. And for me, you know, those great fighters and those golden eras, you know, talk about, like, the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, they all stay very, very active. And that's kind of something I always want to do. I want to stay active, you know. And, of course, we don't stay as active as we want to. You know, my last fight was 4 months ago, you know, so almost 5 months ago, basically. So I would definitely like to stay active more, but you know, this is good. I'm glad that, you know, I'm getting this fight and then provide, like I said, provide entertainment for the fans. And I think this is a special night of boxing, definitely a special night of boxing because of all everything that's going on.
And we'll talk about that in 1 second. You mentioned about historian and not going quite back to the 20s and 30s, but the recent passing of arguably, you know, one of the greatest boxers and a guy that I always looked up to and loved, Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Give me your thoughts, any stories of watching any of his fights.
Oh, man. You know, I got a. I was thinking about this the other night, man. So Hagler's one of. I'm a southpaw. So obviously, Hagler's one of my favorite fighters of all time, you know. So it's. All right. So I give you a great story, man. Like, so when I was still amateur, and, you know, I don't think I haven't turned professional yet, obviously. And when. So I was living in an apartment, and my girlfriend had just broke up. It was a two-bedroom apartment. And, it was a Saturday night, and then my girlfriend had just broke up with me, and she had a lot of furniture in the house, and when we broke up, she took everything out of the house, right? All the furniture was, almost everything was gone. She, like, stripped the apartment naked, right? So all I had was a TV with a DVD player and, like a futon, basically. And it was a Saturday night, and my sister was living with me at the time. And they was going out and stuff. And, of course, you know, back in the day, I didn't have no money. I was broke, you know. So I sat and watched boxing all night that night. Like, I mean, I'm talking about probably like, it was probably like 8 hours just watching, you know, because I didn't have cable. All I had is a DVD player and a TV. And that was it. And, guess who the person I was watching was? Marvin Hagler, you know. And that, after... Just from that experience, it just brought me so much more, you know. Like, I mean, it's crazy. I think about that stuff now. Like, I was sitting in a little two-bedroom apartment on a Saturday night, you know, broke, didn't have no money. You know, I had just broke up with my girlfriend. She took everything. And, you know, now, you know, I made it big and, you know, made a lot of money. And, you know, and it's kind of like I thank Marvin Hagler for that, you know. So it's kind of like a good memory with Marvin Hagler for me.
Hard work, does good things. My real quick Hagler story, I was stationed in the Navy in Boston, late 70s, early 80s, and he was living in Brockton. And I literally took the train, I don't want to say too many times, but a couple times, just to go walk the streets of Brockton, because it was always in the paper that he would, you know, run the streets. You know, that boxer's right. Training and just running the streets. And I would go and just stand on street corners, just hoping I could see a glimpse of him running down the street. You know, I'd stand there for a couple hours. Never saw him. Nope. Damn. Which kept me coming back looking for him, but
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's my my marvelous story. What's the funniest thing, strangest thing that's ever happened in the middle of a fight? And I asked the question. I asked an MMA fighter once who was fighting a German named Dennis Siever, and they were talking German, you know, in between rounds. And he said that when he heard the German, and obviously he didn't understand it, but he would start to what?
The Inglourious Basterds movie.
He would see that movie in his brain, and he said it caught him like 8-10 seconds into a fist fight, him watching a movie and not concentrating on the fight. Anything crazy, silly like that's ever happened?
So my fight with Josh Taylor, you know, of course I went over to England, and I still felt like I won the fight, but, you know, it was a loss. It's still a loss on my record. And I remember vividly, I mean, this is like it happened right now. I remember slipping a punch. He threw a jab. He threw a real hard jab. And I remember slipping it, and it hit me on my shoulder. And the crowd went crazy. Like, you know, like he landed the punch. And I thought, right then and there, I thought, damn, I'm in trouble. You know, because the crowd is seeing something totally different that's going on in the fight. And, I won't say crazy experience, but that's one of the experiences I had. You know, it's just like I slipped a punch and the crowd went nuts and they thought it landed and it hit me on my shoulder. And I was just like, and at that moment, I was just like, damn, I got to knock this dude out.
That's crazy. Real crazy story. I was in the corner of Tyrone Booz, who was the WBO cruiserweight champ. He's fighting, ironically, in Germany. And I had one job. And, you know, in between rounds, my job was to run up and grab the water. You know, it was an ice pack to put on the back of his neck. Rounds over. It's the first time I've ever done anything like this. So I run up, and I forgot the thing. And they looked at me. And it's like, you know, you hear those stories where moms can, like, pick up cars because it fell on their baby and somehow just
right.
I jumped the six steps down and jumped back. I could never jump up six steps ever in my life. But somehow I was able to jump up, jump down, and get the ice pack, you know, on the back of his neck. Another question I like to ask to get to know our guests, talking dinner. You're going to have dinner with four people, living or passed away, real or fictitious. You know, can't be family members, can't be, you know, athletes from the gym, you know, not necessarily. Who would you like to hang out with for a night and just kind of pick their brain and let them pick yours?
Man, that's a great, great question, man. I will say the first person will be Muhammad Ali. The first person I leaked. Oh, that's a good question. Somebody like Malcolm X. Mike Tyson. And, well, Baldwin. This might sound kind of crazy, but I think Donald Trump.
Wow.
Oh.
And how about this? Heck. I have with three of the four that you said.
Damn.
Do what?
That's nice. Yeah. Who was it? Who was it?
Ali, Tyson, and Trump. So, damn. Yeah. And you know, the Ali thing, it's everything you've ever, and I don't know if you ever had the opportunity to meet him, but anything you've ever heard, read, what an unbelievable. I kind of relate him to, you know, just a transformer. It's almost like he wasn't human, but he was, if that makes sense. Unbelievable. Right. What are you thinking as you're walking to the ring?
A lot of my fights is different, you know. That's a good question too, because most of my fights they was different. When I walked to ring with Josh Taylor, you know, it was 20,000 people in a stadium, and except for my family, they was all against me, you know. So you talk about thousands of people booing me and stuff like that. So with that, I kind of forgot. I just was ready to get the fight on. One of my most nervous fights I ever had was, so I fought, of course, my hometown is New Orleans, Louisiana. I fought in New Orleans, and as I was walking out, I was like in the mood of, I wasn't in the mood of fighting. I just was like, because, all right, so Top Rank does a thing where they put the big TV, the big monitor. They have all like the greatest fighters, you know. They have Ali and Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler and Floyd Mayweather, all the people they ever promoted. They always before the main event, they always show, you know, all the great fighters, like the highlights and stuff. So as I'm standing there in the walkway, I'm looking up, and as I'm looking up, I kind of got caught in, like, I was a fan at that moment, and then when it went off and it went totally dark. And all the I see all the camera phones, all the lights and stuff, and it. Come on, because every time I ever went to one of those fights, like I remember, like going to like a Pacquiao fight, and like I said before the main event, they always have all the greatest fighters fighting, and then you're ready, like you're pumped up to see the fight, and when they did that, it was like, I'm fighting, you know, and I was so nervous before that fight. And that was one of the times, and you know, my last fight, I just felt so good, and I just felt loose and just ready. And I think that, you know, that's like one of the best feelings I ever had entering the ring. Just being ready and loose and not nervous. And of course you always a little nervous, but you know, you can't be that nervous. So
sure.
Yeah, that's just some of my experiences.
What did the booze, are you a type of guy, you know, like a heel in professional wrestling that you kind of enjoyed the booze? Like, I like this. I'm going to show you. Or did it bother you?
It didn't bother me. I mean, I can't even say it was like expected, you know, because I was in a whole different country fighting a fighter from that country, you know. So it was expected. It wasn't like it wasn't like it bothered me. It didn't do anything to me. It was just, it was kind of like expected for me. It was normal. I didn't expect to get cheers, you know, because I was in a whole different country.
Sure. I'm going to ask you about the fight after this. Back to the Tyrone Booze fight. I held his belt up during the national anthem, and we got booed by 20-some thousand people. And to be honest with you, it was one of my proudest moments, because I can't say on FCC radio what I was thinking, but I loved being booed, the national anthem, that, you know, because they were booing me because we're Americans. Yeah, so I kind of enjoyed that. What can you tell us about your opponent on the 17th in Atlanta?
Ivan, man, first off, you know, Ivan's a cool dude, man. We actually trained together. When I lived in L.A., we were training together and stuff. We actually sparred together a few times. I mean, I think that he's easy to be hit, but he's still dangerous. He does have power, and, you know, he's going to come with a good game plan to fight me, you know, because he knows we train together. We sparred and stuff, you know, so he knows what I bring. He knows how hard I hit. So I think he's going to come with a good game plan. But yeah, that's pretty much it, man. I'm ready for me. I'm so ready. I've been just training so hard for this fight, and I'm just, I can't wait, man. I can't wait to step in that ring.
You mentioned earlier about the non quote unquote boxers, you know, that are going to be on the card, Ben Askren, Frank Mir. How much does that help you in looking forward to that? There's probably some, I don't want to say a lot, but some people that are going to tune in as MMA fans who may not know you or may not know your background, and you know, you'll be able to entertain not only your fans but people that'll be seeing you for the first time.
Yeah, man, I think that's great. This is a great opportunity, because not only the MMA fans, you know, they could be watching him, but they, you know, all the YouTube fans and all the fans that Jake Paul brings, and they all gonna be watching me. And you know, I think that's great, man, because I'll turn those people in after watching me fight. Those people definitely, they'll be fans for life. I know they'll be fans for life, because I know how much excitement I bring, and this is a great platform for me. So I'm super excited about this fight, and I just want to go out there and have a spectacular performance.
I'm more excited now than I was 15 minutes ago, I'll tell you that much, Regis. When will you get to Atlanta? Fight's on, I believe it's Saturday. When do you guys get in?
I'm not sure yet. I don't know what the schedule looking like yet, but usually if the fight is on a Saturday, we'll probably go like a Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that. But it all depends on what kind of media we'll be doing, so... that all depends too. So we'll be, you know, that week is like the week of cutting weight. So hopefully we can get out there in, you know, in adequate time, or unless they have the right stuff around, like the saunas and just like a place we can work out at.
I'll be in touch. I'm going to broadcast up there all week. It was planned even before this event. So I'm going to reach out to you, and hopefully, you know, we can set up somewhere, have you on live. I'd love to have you on live and get to know you a little bit more. I want to thank you for your time. I know we already have your address. We're going to send you out a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a pair of earbuds from Jabra, just for giving us some time and coming on the show today.
All right, man. Thank you. No problem. Thank you all.
I appreciate your time. Regis back in action at Mercedes-Benz, and I hope I can find the card. Remember the guy that gave us the challenge coins?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, from the Mercedes-Benz Center.
He's from Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, it's certainly nice with 4 minutes to go. like I said, you got to know how much I think of this superstar celebrity.
He's below me and the Tiger now.
it is very, very possible.
Not that Tiger. Everybody's below that Tiger.
Which Tiger?
His Tiger is the GOAT.
Oh, okay.
Best Tiger ever.
All right. So look at who walks in with 4 minutes to go.
Hey, welcome.
Oh. Sit down.
Come on in.
Don't tell me. Tell it on live on the air. So we have
the fans. Man, Uncle Randy's mad at me. Am I on?
You're on.
Yeah, you're on. Hey, FCC Radio. So let's.
All right. So, you know you got to tell me that.
So you have about 6 minutes.
I like
six
the pictures
minutes.
You got on the wall.
What did I say?
Where's my picture, dude? No.
So we got it now.
So here's the thing. So I wouldn't tell him who was coming. Okay.
It's true.
But I said, okay. You know, what is it? 8 degrees of bacon.
Six degrees of Kevin Bacon.
I said, we're going to do 1 degree of torta pizza.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you just pointed to it. The 1 degree. He happened
right,
to have a
true.
Picture of your close friend, Phil Brooks.
One of my former opponents.
Yeah.
UFC fighter, Phil Brooks. Or is it?
Formerly known as
is a WWE fighter.
So what's going on? Good to see you.
Dude, it's great to see. Give me a hug, brother. Man, I miss you. I miss you. I always get to see this guy at the UFC events.
Always.
I'm knocking your shit down. Stuff down.
Stop. Hey, man, Strong. What would you expect to be behind you?
True. I like that. We're out here for my boy right here, the Albanian superstar, Vilsan Nedroni. He's got a big title fight on Saturday.
If you would have come, I don't know, like on time, we could have been able to get
Hey, man. I know. Well, I think this is like the earliest I've ever been late, so.
Put that on a t-shirt.
We've had this happen too many times. Yeah, you know, the UFC media always keeps me late.
Yeah.
And this time, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get Steve to have a heavy foot in the car. I'm like, bro, we got to step on it.
Well, did he tell you the text that I sent back?
No, what?
Good.
All right. Good. You can't say FCC will shut that down?
You can't say it at all. So tell me about his fight, since he's not going to have time to come on.
So Vilsan's kind of like he's going to be like a Khabib 2.0. He might not like the comparison because he thinks he's better. But he's sick. He's a world-class wrestler, like Olympic level. I think he's going to do some stuff with the Olympics actually coming up.
Wow.
And he's about to get his first pro title this weekend.
Didn't you say that you wanted to fight the next person who came in?
Not today. Not today.
It feels easy. We're waiting until Saturday.
I need a fight camp. Obviously, I need a fight. I need time. I'm going to.
Right, first, you got to go through the bodyguard who looks like shit.
That's Big Charles. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, what's up with you? What's going on? Any news?
Working on it, man. It's looking like I'm going to be fighting again in June. That's when they're booking out right now. We're trying to get a fight. The last two I got on like 4 weeks notice, so there's a good chance I'll like find out late. But I'm thinking June's gonna be when I'm back in there. I have no news right now. Wish I did.
And you know, I always hate asking questions that I don't know the answer to. But same roommate or have you guys broken up?
Same roommate?
Yeah. When you living with Eve?
Oh no. Yeah. Well, I guess. I'm so I was living with. We had a house in L.A. together. Right.
Eve Edwards, my brother.
Yeah, the legend, yep. Thug Jitsu Master. He's actually in D.C. right now, and I'm in Jersey. So we're not roommates at the moment, but we actually just talked on the phone yesterday.
Is he really Eve or is that Dean Thomas?
We were just talking about that the other day. No, that's actually Eve. They're two different gentlemen, actually, Randy.
Okay. Well,
both legends in their own right.
I'm aware.
But yeah, that is a common misnomer.
I don't really think they look that similar.
Yeah.
Have you been around any time that he was called Den? Did you correct the person?
Well, actually, Eve is always called Eves.
Yeah.
Because they see the S, and he's like, it's Eve. There's just one of me. Like, right. That's what he always says. And I have heard... Dean be called Din by people who like even know him. Like I remember people be like Din, and I'm like, I think it's Dean, bro. I mean, I know it looks like that.
All right, so I said about pizza, and you made this big thing, and I know we only have another couple minutes, luckily. So I'm going to give you a minute or two to explain pizza because I told him it's healthy, and he made fun of me.
Yeah, what are you going to say? You can give me that whole it's a vegetable line?
No. Of course not.
Of course, Mickey's going to make fun of me.
So Mickey, so here's the deal. So 10 years ago,
convince me.
So, okay. Oh, so 10 years ago, I went on a pizza only diet to show that pizza was a healthy food. From there, the science movement came along, flexible dieting, macro tracking. So I applied science to a bodybuilding program. And after 16 weeks of eating nothing but pizza at 41 years old, I became a professional bodybuilder eating nothing but pizza. So then I rode a bicycle, that bicycle from here to New York City to deliver that message. That pizza is a healthy food. And so today,
I'll tell you.
We will literally change the world with pizza today. One slice at a time.
Now, what are you putting, like chicken breasts on your pizza and stuff?
It's all about tracking macros. So it's all fat, carb, protein, fiber.
So where's the
flexible dieting. Cheese has a ton of protein in it. Chicken, beef. I have a whole wheat low-carb crust.
He's sold. He's like, fine.
I have a whole wheat low-carb crust. The whole pizza is only 100 carbohydrates. Okay. You eat one slice every 2 hours. You have all your nutrition for a whole day in one box.
Here's where he's full of crap. Okay. No, here's where he's full of crap. He rode that bicycle from
here,
St. Pete, to New York City. So I don't care if you eat ice cream. You're going to lose weight if you ride a bicycle to New York City.
I agree.
Okay. And that was 13 years ago.
Output, you're going to need all the carbs and the everything to...
Back then, yes. But to be a bodybuilder, no. So I did it for 16 weeks. I cut weight. I got down to 163 pounds. At 4.5% body fat, and I became a champion, professional.
Good for you, brother.
Eating nothing but pizza.
I like that.
So now you're going to get a chance to eat and make your own pizza.
I can't wait.
All your crew is going to eat like kings today. And then when we're done, we're going to go outside.
Except for the guy who's fighting.
Bill's got to, he's going to make pizzas. Well, Charles says he'll take care of it.
Hold on a second. No, stop. Stop for a second. They're not going to all eat like kings because they're all full because they just came from a restaurant.
Wow.
Well, I thought we were going to be able to go for like another hour or something, man. I'm just getting started. We're just greasing the groove here.
We'll slow this down. We're going
to
stay.
Talk to get a little extra time here.
I'm the king. What I'm going to do, I'm closing the restaurant until you guys. I'm the king. We're closing the restaurant down until you guys are done.
Because
we're
going to
cook.
I want to stay on the air with you.
We're going to hang out. Yeah. And then I'm going to take you out and I'm going to train you on the most advanced piece of fitness exercise equipment on the planet.
Of course. He just lost his UFC credential.
What are you talking about?
Can I
be in your corner? You guys need a corner
I'm
guy.
I'm signing you as my coach right now.
Done.
Dude.
Deal. I'll take it.
Right now.
Accept
we're
it.
In. Yeah.
Done.
Get me on the pizza diet. I like this guy.
Pizza diet, fitness. We're going to build more champions right here at Tour de Pizza.
All right, beautiful.
Where winners eat.
It was strategically set for you to be here at 3:30. So we would do a half an hour, then you go play on the
Why
pizza.
Only a half hour, man?
Oh.
What is this? You don't like hanging out with me for longer than that?
Oh, you're right. I should have set it for 3.
Bro, I should have been here at 2. We should have done the whole 2 hours together.
See, or a limo driver. Like,
come on, man.
He's delayed.
No, it's not. It's not Steve.
Did he kick Ric Flair out to put you in?
We had to feed the kid. We had to feed the kid.
Did he kick Ric Flair out of the limo so you could sit? Like, bring your whole entourage?
Limousine riding, Jeff Lyon, son of a gun.
All right,
2 days ago.
We only got about 30 seconds left. It was great.
Come on.
It was great.
I object. This is ridiculous.
All right, now that I know, I knew that Mickey would be late, but I didn't expect it to be 27 minutes late. All right, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. UFC, big event on Saturday. We'll be back. Maybe we'll kidnap Mickey and keep him here another week.
Hey, I'm here. You're only on Wednesdays?
Thanks. Yep.
Someone needs to change that. We need every day of Randy.
All right, we're out of time. Thanks to 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. And yes, you get more 8 Man Strong stuff.
Really? Okay. I'll thank you. Love it.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Joe Romero here and the Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.